Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your place. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted tonight. We're going to go into Looking Back at the Beginning by Bobby Lively. It's our hope that this show will lead people to seek to want to be closer to God. Have you ever wondered if we, as the New Testament church, have gone a little bit astray and how to live for God? Wildville found a clip from a man named Paul Harvey that was released in its third release in 1963. He had a mainstream media show that started on his radio and later expanded into television. He has some very interesting things that he has shared through the years that we are sure this generation would have kicked off the air and would be treated as statements of an old man who has a weak mind. It is almost prophetic in nature. Bill is going to share two of these links for this show. Wild Bill found this very thought-provoking. In 1963, the top five family television shows of that time were Andy Griffith, The Dick Van Dyke Show, Leave It to Beaver, and The Wonderful World of Disney, and also The Patty Dick Show. The top five action shows targeting men were Bonanza, Gunsmoke, and Perry Mason, and The Virginians, and The Avengers. It's funny that there were not ratings based on women on what they called primetime television. If you want to have some fun in looking at where we have come since 1963, look up an old video clip from one of these shows on YouTube. For sure, what man is so proud of in our accomplishments should be looked at with eyes wide open. The next year, the majority of the top family shows were about animals, such as Flipper, Gentle Ben, and Lassie. No wonder our country has gone so far downhill in what we call progress. The second clip fits into looking at building a nation and what people are willing to do. It's clear God and our nation were closer in those days. What has happened to spiritual man thinking? Sister Bobby Lively is going to take us to the beginning and where things all started. Do we really desire to please God? And now, Sister Bobby Lively.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Americans' preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would, willingly and without question, accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, "You want another Eden? All right, earn it." And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. The fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.
Well, we got those two links. It's hard to believe that was 1963 when they were talking about all these things that could happen in our future if we weren't careful. And look where we are. Blog Talk Mom.
Hello, Brother Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. I thought that this would be a good way to start off the show, even though I'm not sure exactly which direction you're going. But looking at a time in history to go back and think about where we were, and then look at just in such a, seems like there's a short time. I guess when you get to be 60 years old, that I guess it takes a while to get there and you got more experience. But it just, some of the things he said just blew me away. And this was mainstream media. This was accepted. This was something the public didn't just all say. This is just what the weird people listen to. I mean, they played his things at the end of newscasts and different things to do with radio shows and part, you know, it just, that was like, what we would consider mainstream media now was nothing like that. But go ahead, Blog Talk Mom, just go with where you feel to go with this, and we're going to go along with you for the ride.
Well, thank you, Wild Bill. I do appreciate you for allowing me this time. I was laughing because of you, I don't know, the very beginning, it was a little bit of confusion, and then a lot of what I'm going to talk about is confusion. So I thought, Lord, you're giving me the exact confirmation that I need for what you're sharing with me today. And I do appreciate you.
Yeah,
Wild
when
Bill,
we first started to play the song, it wouldn't play. And so what I did, one of the good things about being home is that I was able just to pull it up on the computer and play it and just put my headset up to it. I hope it came through okay, did it?
Half
your
of
song?
It cut off in about the middle of it. And then Sister Starla announced me that, oh, we're going to get with Bobby Lively. And then he began to talk. And, you know, that's, it was just wonderful because I don't know. God knows exactly how to deal with Sister Bobby Lively. So all of the rest of
for
you
sure we're in
have
the land
to
of confusion.
Hang on. Not really. I needed it exactly. I've just been laughing and you know what that does for us. But I do
right.
Thank you, and Sister Starla. And I was thinking today about our my beautiful daughter, Joy, that has got us started in this. And God is so powerful to be able to take whatever we will give him, and he will make it beautiful, something good, all our confusion. I want to read quite a few scriptures, and I'm going to go several directions. And Wild Bill, if you want to stop me in any one direction, I can continue in that. And I did have several people say that they were going to listen, and you may tell them if they want to speak later, you know, if they have a point that would be acceptable with you. So, there's a scripture in Hebrews. I'm going to read Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 12 and 13. Take heed. Now, a lot of times, this is in Hebrews, a lot of times we read a scripture and we read it, but we don't really have ears to hear what God is saying through the written word. Take heed. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, to depart from something, you've got to be there and then and get away from it. And as I looked at these scriptures today, because tomorrow night we had planned at our church to do a panel discussion on women in ministry. Well, we're not going to be able to do that. And so as I was looking over the scriptures about women in ministry, I realized that there it was something deeper than just not believing in a woman preacher. And the Holy Ghost began to speak in my heart the words, in the beginning. I know what in the beginning means, but as I began to think on it, I began to weep and just travail. And over, I would just get to that right now, just thinking about it. Because we've got all of this information. We can go any direction, any time, all the time, and find out anything about everything and more. But God is saying, take heed that you leave the truth of the Word of God, that you leave the God that created all things. And in the very beginning of the Word of God, he says, calm down, Sister Lively. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't be screaming on your radio broadcast. Okay. In the beginning. In the beginning, if God had just started to tell us just a fraction of what he did, we wouldn't have enough books, we wouldn't have enough world space or heaven to contain it. We know that. But he wants us to not get so wrapped up in all of this other that we forget that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he can create in us any and everything we need for any and every situation if we will take heed and know that it is all about him and his power. And to realize that there was a time that we don't fully comprehend time. There's all kinds of illustrations. You know, you can stand in front of a microwave for 3 minutes and it seems like it's been an hour. You know, time is a very unusual thing. And then you can reverse that. And it can seem like it just flies by. Time is only in the hands of God. There's a beginning of time and an ending of time, and all the rest is called forever. It's eternal. And God is calling you and me and everyone to realize that in the beginning, it was God. In the beginning. And in the beginning of every relationship we've ever had with God, we need to go back to that. We're going to have all kinds of circumstances, disappointments, all kinds of things like that. It's a war. You know, wake up. We're in a warfare. We put on the whole armor of God. We've got to protect our mind, our heart, our feet. We have to have that sword of the Spirit. But it's all about the Word of God. There's two scriptures that say in the beginning. I quoted one of them when I started in the very first part of Genesis. And then you go to John, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God, the Word that says, I love you so much that I laid down my life. And I went into the trailer park. Today has been a very, very hectic day for me. I mean, things have come up you just wouldn't believe. And I won't take a lot of time to do it, but I went into the trailer park. There was a fight, a lot of stress and anxiety for everybody, and I was trying to take care of it the best I could. And their little children, 9 years old or so, they looked at me and said, there's no devil. I said, really? And they are all coming around and going to convince me that there's no devil. And I said, well, and they said, there's no hell, there's no this, no, there's no, they had it all together because they just watched something on television. And I didn't know about that. But what it was trying to do was trying to say anything in the spirit world is just, it's just not real. You know, just if you believe in it, it's real. If you don't, it's not real. So I said, do you believe the Bible? Because I've been teaching them Bible. We've been having Bible lessons, whatever. Oh, yes. And I said, then the Bible says you're going to burn in hell. And I said it just as plain and harsh as I could. And I mean, one of the little boys, and he turned and the other one turned, and they were looking at me like, really? And I said, yes, but I said it with love because they know me and they know I love them. And I said, your weapons, instead of fighting each other, your weapons, instead of doing these things that trying to help calm them down, is love. It's not this other They were all defending themselves. And this is an interesting thing, and I know I'm rambling, but I feel this on my heart. We all want to defend our point of view. And this is where I got into when I was teaching on women in the ministry. You know, there's something called prejudice. And I know that right now with all of this that's going on with COVID and all that's going on with the gentleman that went through the situation and died, there's all of these riots and this people getting out and making all kinds of protests and everything. But in 19—see, I was 13 years old, so I'm 80 years old now. It was a long time ago. And there was all kinds of the same type of thing. I lived right down the street from one of the largest high schools, and they wanted to integrate. And I saw some of the most heart-rending things I have ever seen in my life. Totally unfair. Prejudice is horrible. It is the most arrogant thing in all the world. And as I studied about these women, different ones, well, the Lord gave me a rap, which a lot of people are prejudiced about that, which I'm sorry about that, but God has really used it. So I'm really happy about that. But as far as studying about the women in the Bible, and I would like to read the rap. I don't have the music with it. Would that be okay, Wild Bill?
Sure. Go ahead and do whatever you feel today.
Well, you jump in anytime you want to, and I'll just drown you out because that's funny. You funny? Ho, ho, come on. After I
it's hilarious.
People what my... Thank you. Okay. Now, like I said, I don't have the all of it together to put the music to it, and I pray that Brother Jordan Hewlett is listening. He is the one that does. Oh, this is a really interesting thing. I needed to put this together, and he had a soundtrack that he had made in 2018 that never did fit any of his programs, and it fit perfect for this. So maybe later on we can share it. But here's what it goes. In the book of Acts, that's in the Bible, there's a special phrase. The prophet Joel in the Old Testament is quoted as saying, in the last days, sons and daughters will prophesy, proclaiming the good news. Oh, my. Almighty God, creator and king, chooses his bride to worship and sing. With Holy Ghost power, our lamps overflow. Tell it, proclaim it, let everyone know. To preach good tidings to the lost, a willing vessel I'll be, whatever the cost. Incline my heart, O God, to speak, to preach, to sing, to rap, to seek. Ruth in the Bible faced pain and loss pursuing. Her life is an example of what we're doing, working in his fields, lying at his feet. The bride of the bridegroom we will arise to meet. Esther, no parents. Mordecai raised her, but she was chosen to be the queen who would save her people from destruction. You see, it's God who calls, not our plan, but his. And now we are called for such a time as this. Mary Magdalene could see what the disciples could not. She had been delivered from Satan's evil plot. So she brought anointing and incense. She brought it to the Lamb. She knew in her heart Jesus was the great I am. Jesus loves, he lives, and he always gives. All we need before we die is to finish our course. And we will if we try. Sing, speak by inspiration to every tongue and every nation. What do we speak? He has done great things. Sons and daughters, speak. Let every tongue proclaim our God, Jehovah Jesus, mighty Holy Ghost, has done great things. So when you're nothing and you feel really weak, just yield to the Holy Ghost, and then you'll speak. Uh-huh. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was my little rap about women, a few of them. But as I was studying about this, the one that the Lord brought my attention to was a lady in the Old Testament named Deborah, and I would like to say a little bit about her. You know, there is prejudice against women in ministry, women preachers, and I was amazed as I did some studies just this week. It's not been, you know, that long that women didn't work, and they weren't even allowed to vote, and so many different things have changed. And we had one president that really worked and backed our civil rights, and he was a great man. And I had a lot of information about him, but I won't go into that now. But it would be good for other people to look into it and to look at the word prejudice. A prejudice is a negative prejudgment of a group, a negative prejudgment of individual members of that group. It can be brought from our ego, influenced by our parents, maybe what the social norms are. Maybe it can be, you can be prejudiced because of fear or maybe a bad experience that you've had. But it can develop into the very thing in the beginning of exactly what came against the plan of God. We don't take it into our own hands. We don't prejudge other people and other things. The answer is one word, and it is manifested from Genesis 1 to the last scripture in Revelation. Come quickly, Lord. It's the love of God. Surpasses any and everything we can ever, ever do on our own, in our own way. And I wanted to read this, one little illustration here about traditions and about, now, we have Thanksgiving Day. I love Thanksgiving Day. I just love it. And, you know, usually everybody gets together if they can, if it's close enough. And there's a lot of traditional things that we eat. One of them is a turkey. Now, you don't have to eat a turkey. You can eat whatever you want to, but the tradition is to do that. It's a desire. It goes along with everything that you're doing. But that's not the same thing as Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is something that we are to have seven. I spoke with a lovely young lady today who is stepping out for God. She's making major steps in every direction, studying the Word of God. And she spoke to me. It was so beautiful as she was sharing with me today how that even though there was opposition, there were things coming against her, she was learning that the weapon she had was to praise and be thankful. And we know that. We can read the book of Psalms. We can read, and then with one of the greatest manifestations of the story of Deborah is that after everything she had gone through, God gave her a song, the Song of Deborah. There is power in these things. If we will shake ourselves from negative thoughts and negative words and all of the traditional things that get us so bound in working, all of this extra things, and rest in God. Rest in Him. And while Bill and I were discussing that today, how we rest in the Lord, in the power of His might, and we praise Him, and we give you the first thing when we open our eyes. Thank you, oh God, for what taking us through the evening. Lord, for giving us a new day. And, you know, I mean, it's a lot more powerful than, oh, man, here we go again. I hope I think that was funny, but my sense of humor, whatever. Okay, so we want to be thankful. Romans 1 and 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is the book of Romans. You know, what all of these things happened to them, they knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. And in the story of Deborah, it's one of the most beautiful stories. At the point that she was appointed by God to be the judge, prophetess over Israel, they had drifted away from God. There was a process that Israel would do. First of all, as they followed God, they would become lackadaisical. They didn't really, you know, they just sort of backed off away from him, just like this scripture. No glory to God. You know, there was just nothing. And then from that stage, they would pull away and begin to see other gods and the gods of the people and the lust of their flesh and the lust of their, all of this lust begin to move into them. And they would begin to lust after these gods, and all of the horrible rituals that they would see weren't horrible anymore. They enticed them. And we said, well, we would never do that. I tell you what, I have accidentally saw more junk than I ever want to see just being somewhere where television was on. Or I guess it was television, whatever it was. And I mean, it's, but I want to go to the next step. After they're enticed to other gods and they go to the high places, they commit fornication with these other gods. The next thing they do is they take their children and they offer them to these gods. And when I walked out into that trailer park and saw all of the filth and the hatred, these children were giving me what they believed because they saw it on television or whatever it was, that they saw some film or something, some movie, whatever it was, that made them no longer believe that there was even a devil. And like you so beautifully put out while ago about Paul Harvey, if I were the devil, that's for sure what I'd do. Don't even believe in me, little boy. You know, you just know that everything's fine, and I'll have you the rest of your life. In just a few years, I'll have you so bound on drugs, and I'll be just all of these things as I see day by day, and it just breaks my heart. But I tell you what, I go back to the beginning. I'm not going to just say, oh, well, it's really bad. I mean, things are really getting rough. In the beginning of my life, I was born in sin. I was shaped by the iniquity of the world that was around me. But there was that day that I said, yes, Lord, I want to live for you. There was that time of repentance. Well, repentance didn't mean just saying I'm sorry, although I was. I turned. You know what I did actually on that day, and I have it written down. I fell on my face before God, and I said, I can't make it, Lord. I don't know what to do. My life is all in shambles. I just don't know what to do. And it was like God said, that's all I've been waiting for. No, you can't. But in the beginning, I made a plan. So that the day that you turned to me, I would have exactly what you needed. And I remember going to the edge of the bed in my bedroom, and I began to pray. I spoke in tongues for somewhere around 2 hours, and I could feel myself going into every dimension of cleaning and deliverance. Was it a home run? No. I still was baptized in Jesus' name. A friend shared that with me, and I was still so stubborn. And so I went in there to get baptized in Jesus' name, and I said, Lord, I don't want to hurt these people's feelings, but if this is what you want me to do, I want to do it. If not, I'll just get up and, you know, get away from them. It was another doctrine from what I was. And I tell you what, I went down in Jesus' name. And the Bible plainly tells us it was just if I'd never done a million and one horrible things, because I was washed in the blood of Jesus and totally justified, just if I'd never done it, by the name of Almighty God, because in the beginning he knew where I'd be and what I'd do and what I'd go through. But he also knew that there was going to be a day that he would set me free from the devil's clutches, from the devil's, just like Mary Magdalene. And I was set free. And because of that, was it a end? No, I'm still 80 years old. I still have to live for God each moment of my life, but it works. I can tell you, if you're listening, it works. This works. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and he will enhance it each day if we just let him have the opportunity through his word and through fellowship and praise and worship. As Sister Jill said, worship God. Worship him. Praise him. And he is so worthy of that. Now, I know I've spoken a long time, and I would like to take a breath. Is there anybody that would like to say anything? Ma Bill, I would love for you to interact at this point.
Well, I can't believe you get short-winded. I tell you what, just the anointing that you have when you speak has been such a blessing to me all my life to be able to watch you with – if you would just have to be sitting in her living room and have her pull out a puppet and go through a Bible lesson. My uncle, who was an alcoholic, who ran from things of God that had any accountability to it most of his life, she could pull out that puppet and start going through different things with the Bible. And it's not just children. She can mesmerize adults as a calling that she's had placed on her life to be able to do those things. But I am on the same wavelength with you on the thing about how it seems like somehow we're missing the mark in what it is that we look at in trying to judge ourselves and living for God. We need to go back to what you're sharing, that foundation experience of where you realize that where you were in your life was from choices you made and from you trying to do it your own way. But it's just part of who we are that we get to thinking, I have to be in control of everything that has to be in my life. I have to judge when I want God to work, and then, you know, I make it available for him if he just wants to come in and take over a situation. But that's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be where we're constantly, like the message last week, we got to be submissive to his will. Well, if we don't listen to his will and we don't want to know what his will is, he's not going to force it upon us. He's not ever going to come in and say, hey, this is what you got to do. This is it right here, and everything's going to be getting better, and this is just part of the process. I'm not going to be done with you there. And we love saying things like, I'm thankful that God is not done with me yet because I know I've not arrived to where I'm supposed to be. But then we get in this rut, even in our churches, we get into this rut of saying the same sort of things over and over, looking at people the same way we always look at them. And politics has snuck into our church so much to where I remember when everybody was just so adamant against Obama. And I didn't say I agreed with everything that he said, but the Bible tells us to pray for these leaders. He didn't tell us to get involved with politics. He didn't tell us to go in there and decide to set up this group or to make such a big thing out of these things at church and say, you know, if you're going to be called a Christian, you got to vote this way or that way. Because I'm here to tell you, none of these people are right. I've not been to an apostolic Pentecostal church and ever saw any of these men in there praising and worshiping God, going deep in prayer to where they're praying in the Spirit. I've not seen it. Not a one of them. Now, if you think you have or you know something I don't know, hey, that's all good. Good. I'm glad to hear these things. But just because someone says, I'm for the people of God and we're going to make Israel a nation, we're going to recognize them as a nation, it doesn't mean that they are actually following God's will. So we're to pray for these people. But it's so easy. We want to take sides. And I've said it before, this is where the world is going to be able someday to come down on the church. He's going to be able to say, hey, these are the people that refuse to obey the laws. They're resisting on these things. We saw it with the COVID virus where preachers were coming in and they were saying, like, well, we're going to have a church no matter what the law says. And we saw some carried off to jail, and we saw the different games they were playing with videotaping and posting these things and lifting themselves up, not lifting God up. And I'm not pointing fingers at these people. Maybe their church, they had to do that. Maybe the top people that go to that church, their pastors had to do this to keep these people saved. I don't know. But I'm telling you that we need to understand to make the thing of God the most important things of our life and not look for a church service to do it. If we're the temple of the living God, then where should these things start? In our life. That's where these things are to come about. So, Block Top Mom, I'm sorry. Just go ahead.
No, that goes along excellent with the first two scriptures in Hebrews, the third chapter, 12 and 13, because it says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. We can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It deceives us. And just like all these traditions and everything that makes us prejudiced against another race or any, that is just so bizarre. As you look at it, you think, how could anybody be that evil or that cruel? But I want to go back to Deborah at the point that Israel had gone completely away from God. The enemies began to overthrow them and destroy them and abuse them. And then they would turn and cry out to God. for help. And so God spoke to Deborah and told her, said, I'm going to deliver the people, and I want you to tell it. She had a man that was over the army. His name was, I think it was Barak. And he said that he would go and he would fight when she told him. She said, I'll fight, but you got to go with me. And so I want to tell you about Sister Lively's little hussy prejudice at the point I first read that. Okay, I read, she tells him that he can go and he's going to win for Israel. And he says, yeah, but I want you to go with me. And so I had two thoughts. Number one, yeah, you're scared. You just can't do nothing without a woman. I'm ashamed to even. But anyway, that was number one. And then number two, I thought he was saying, I don't really believe you. If you're really telling the truth, you come with me and see if you want, you know. And neither one of those were right. As I studied it, Barak adored her. He knew that the people loved her. She was like a Moses. She would judge the people. They came to her with all kinds of things. She prophesied. She heard from God and spoke these prophecies. And so, I mean, he knew that if she went, God was going to do great things and the people would be comforted by that. And I don't know that, but I feel like that's really what happened. Anyway, so the army that was coming against them was a horrible group of people, and they had, I think Sisera was their leader, and they had 900 iron tanks. I mean, whatever. They weren't like our tanks, but they were like chariots and stuff like that. And that was the power that they needed to just wipe out the Israelites. 900, and they're coming against them. But there was one thing. In the beginning, God said that it would rain one day, and it did, as we know, the flood. And he sent enough rain and flood that every one of their chariots sunk down in the mud and couldn't go anywhere. And so they were all destroyed. Every one of the enemy was destroyed. But one man, Sisera, he jumps out, and he starts running. Well, Deborah had said, okay, I'm going to go with you, but all of the credit and everything is not going to go to you. It's going to go to a woman. Well, you first read that, you think, well, she's going to get credit because she's going. But there was a woman named Jael. And so Sisera's running, and he comes to this tent, and she's there, and he says, I'm so thirsty and I'm so tired. She says, okay, just come here, lie down, and I'll get you some milk. And she did. And, that was so good and cold milk. And he just laid back there, and when he got real good and comfortable, she picked up a hammer and a tent stake, and she drove it through his head. Now, I personally, the thought of that, I would just a whole lot rather be dead than that. But anyway, the point is, you take a woman with a tent stake against a whole army that comes against God, and when God says you're going to win, you're going to win. And in the beginning, he said, you're going to win. Hell wasn't even made for us. We're going to win. We need to keep our eyes on the prize, our eyes on the one that told us, I'll go down and I will take on in the beginning God, in John. The Word became flesh. Think about that. God, being all of the horrible things as he walked up Calvary's road, and he knew then, he could have called, I called 12 legions of angels. But I know exactly what I'm doing, and I win, because I know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. I love it, how God just put it all together, and I trust and pray that I have brought it to you, in some way that would help you. One of the things that, going back to prejudice, is built around the word pride. And I want us to think about that, because pride, if you remember Daniel, when he spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, all of the great and wonderful things that he said, here, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, He was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. There's more in that story there. But pride exalts. We want to exalt ourselves between each other and before God. So a humble heart full of love and praise are the weapons we will use. It worked in the beginning, and it'll work all the way to the end. So while Bill, I think I've pretty much covered everything. And I do have a couple of more things about Deborah, but I want to give you time because I love everything you say.
Well, you're too kind, and I do want to hear what you have on Deborah there. Has anybody else got a comment or question that you would like to ask right now? All you got to do is push the number 1 on your phone, and I'm not sure what comes up on the new board, but something is supposed to – used to be a little hand that came up, like, me, I want to say something. But I don't know what actually comes up right now. So if you have something you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask Sister Lively about this, I think one of the main things about what – please just push 1. You're not going to interrupt anything. We'd be glad to put you on and share what you got to say. But in looking at the big picture of everything, I don't know anybody that I could ask that you say, would you want to go to hell? And they say, yeah, I'm a volunteer. I want to go to hell. Not a person. When you read the description of just how awful hell is going to be, can you imagine burning forever and ever and ever, but never burning up, never going into shock, just constantly burning? An outer darkness is complete. I've been in caves before where they tell people to stick their hand up in front of their face and you can't even see your hand is there, and then they turn the lights on and you always feel so stupid when they do that. But can you imagine? I think outer darkness is going to be where it's not just dark. It's going to be understanding that you have no chance of ever having a loving God that you can lean on and talk to and share the things that you're concerned with, your weaknesses. Sometimes even when you do something good, it's really nice to be able to share it with someone. And we serve a God that he doesn't mind when we come to him and say, hey, man, I feel like I did really good on that test, Lord. And, man, I appreciate the word you gave me, and I did my best to share that with people. And the anointing you put there, how it moved, I just want to share with you how I feel. And even though you can see my heart and you know my mind and all these things before I can even say it, to know that he takes joy in me coming to him with my problems, the things that I feel with accomplishments through him. He's a friend that's thicker closer than a brother. And I've got friends, in some ways you think of like a brother that I go to and I talk about things and I can share with them the good, the bad, the ugly. I don't feel like I got to put on a face or anything to try to make myself look better in situations. I can just be honest with. And that's what God wants us to have in a relationship with him. Sometimes with church, we get so wrapped up into, okay, we're going to come in. If you get there on time, which boy, it seems like here lately, I don't know what it is with us, but it seems like we're last minute getting to church. I don't know what's happened. It seems like everybody and their brother that wants to drive 10 to 15 miles an hour slower than the speed limit manages to get in front of me. I can't explain it. It's normally the trip will take me so long and it's taking twice as long to get there. But to go into church and have a time of prayer, before you go into the service to sort of is – like a preacher was talking about being submissive to the blood, to understand that there's different attitudes and different things that come up during the week and different times of your work day and different times of sometimes just being around family. And you just got to sit there and just say, okay, Lord, I didn't handle this very well. And the thoughts that went through my mind that I didn't even speak was, thank God I didn't do that. But, Lord, I shouldn't have had those thoughts. And so, Lord, I need to come up here and get all these things and I need to have clean hands as I come before the King in worship. I need to lift up holy hands and hands that's full of your righteousness. So I got to lay all these things down, and that's good. And then you can come up into service, and we can sit there, and whoever starts your service can say 2 or 3 things to encourage people, and people have clapped their hands or raised their hands a little bit, and those things are good. And then you can go along and we'll sing a song, and it may be one of those songs that it just, you just feel the love of God, and it's a slow song, and you just feel the depth of his love and the depth of his mercy, and those things are good. Those feelings are good. And then next thing you do, you're going through the business of the church, and then, it finally gets down to tithes and offering, and then you get down to, the teaching of the word, and then everybody leaves. And over doing these same things, and they're all good, over and over, if you're not careful, you get to have a relationship with God that you actually have a closer relationship with your job than what you have with God. Because, see, you have your relationship that you have to work on 5 days a week or 6 days a week with your job. And here you got the things of God on Sunday and Sunday night if you have two services. Still, a lot of churches went to one, maybe a midweek service, and then you're back for your Sunday service again. And what I know I'm kind of rambling on here, but it's one of those things that I see it in myself to where I take the things of God and I don't make them as precious as what they should be. Sometimes I forget just how far he brought me from. And even more than that, I forget that I was way out there. And he left the 99 good sheep that were doing everything they were supposed to do to come and get me. He didn't just come and rescue me from all the things that were trying to eat me up and kill me, but then he brought me back with the 99. And to understand, looking back, the problems of what comes in when you're full of sin and maybe you've had bugs eating on you. Maybe you've had some claw marks from a lion that's came in and scratched you, or bite marks from a wolf or something where you just barely escaped. And yet you're brought back in with all these people that everything's fine. And that in itself adds to a burden for a congregation in church. But God established the whole thing was that he loves us all. And no matter how bad, how desperate your situation, how far away you get, he loves you so much that he will come get you. And then we as saints, how do we act when we see these people come? Hey, they better not sit in my pew. That's my pew on Sunday mornings, you know. Don't grab my tambourine. You know, don't come in and want to sing a special and sing one of the songs I sing. I know these things sound ridiculous, but I can see these spirits when they come in with people in church. Children are the hardest because they carry so much, as Blacktop Mom was talking about, the damage of things that they witness on a you can't imagine. We hear all these awful things about these children and how they live, but this is their life. It's their norm. It's what they live with day in, day out. A new dad coming in every 4 or 5 weeks or something like this, and then that one goes to prison because some were drugs, and another one comes in, and this one's abusive and slaps everybody around a little bit whenever he gets drunk or something like that, or he'll steal all the money out of the house to go get drugs or something to drink. We can't fathom what that's like because we're part of the 99. And I don't want to have that wrong attitude as part of the 99. If we're supposed to be working with God, the one that's married to the backslider, do we really show those things? Do we really go back to the beginning? See, there was a beginning of time in the beginning, and then there's a beginning of time when God came into your life. And God started speaking to you, that beginning of time. Because that's your new beginning. Do you really stop and just grasp in your mind just what it is that an almighty God who created everything that we can see, touch, smell, he created it all. And yet he says, hey, Brother Bill, now I know you've kind of run off on the deep end there, but I think I saw your hand coming up, and you're crying, help, help me, help me. And so guess what? I'm going to come help you. Do we really just stop and think about what it means for God to have come and helped us? And I know I've kind of strayed away from what Blacktop Mom was going there, but this is going to be one of those kind of shows. And I think Satan didn't want this to happen. I've never had so much trouble with stuff not wanting to come up. And the clock was actually showing backwards at first of what time the show was going to start. Showed it was an hour and a half away and all these confusions. But one of the things that we've always done here is that we're going to be found faithful, that we're going to do our best to go ahead and just whatever God wants to do, however it works out. This is not meant to be a professional show. Matter of fact, I tell people, this is the Beverly Hillbillies of Blog Talk Christian Radio right here. Because I want it to be a place where people feel comfortable, like they're sitting around their dining room table and where they're reaching out and they're talking to people and they're sharing things. Of course, there's some of the family dining room table things I hear about, maybe it's not the best example anymore. But Blog Talk Mom, do you want to come rescue me from putting my foot in my mouth?
No, I loved it, Wild Bill. I feel like you and I are saying the same thing. We're just, you know, sharing different viewpoints of the very same thing because it is the same message. This is the good news. This is the message, and it's a real world. John 10:10, I may have read it a while ago, but I want to read it again. Speaking of the devil and that he is alive, I love that, what you played at the very beginning. He came to steal, he came to kill, he came to destroy. But God says, I have come that you might have life. Not just life, but that you may have it more abundantly. Now, this is our God. I mean, this is in the beginning. And if you want to, I like what Wild Bill was saying about our attitudes towards those that are coming in. I really am blessed to be in the most loving, awesome church. And Senior Pastor Holland, Irma Jean Holland, is, in my estimation, perfection. I've never had anyone in my life encourage. Now, I've had some wonderful pastors. I didn't mean that. But as a woman pastor, and I had this was so many scriptures that I had were pertaining to women. But she has blessed me, helped me, encouraged me, strengthened me, been a pattern for me. And then Brother Max is a young man, and well, he's going to be a grandfather here pretty soon. But he didn't have any other experience like necessarily as a pastor. But the man is a man of God. He stays on his, this past week, he preached a masterpiece, and he won't preach it until he knows that God has given it to him. And so I'm extremely blessed, but all of us, each of us have a ministry, and we can be a Deborah. We can look at whatever situation we're in. It must not have been, even though she was the best one ever, but it was still a responsibility for her to step out and obey. And like Rob Bill was saying, when people come in, it's a difficult time in their life. And we can be that one that can lead them, to share with them, to just speak with them, and not let them feel like they're isolated in any way. To use, ask God, Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge on how to deal with this individual or individuals. And be supportive to whatever in this church is. I mean, if you're ill or any kind of situation were to come into your life, you're going to, one lady stood up there, she has just gotten over COVID, and she said that every day, even when she was sick, they would bring food from the church and put it out. She had a porch and had, it was already prepared and ready for her. And there's ways we can support people, love people, become involved, so that we can be trusted, that they can share something with us that they can't share with their family or any other situation. And they can be confident that if there's anything we can do, that we'll do it to help them, and that we'll show a humble spirit with them. This is all important if we're going to be chosen of God to work in this generation. And it was just beautiful how God moved in the big uproar that happened today. And I'm so thankful that he did, and I believe that he'll continue to do it, and when I follow through with it tomorrow. So I have said a lot more, and I do love you all, Bill and Sister Starla, for all that you have done. And I just pray that this, so I do want to pray. Lord, I thank you for each scripture, each thing that you brought to me today. Lord, I praise you from the depths of my soul and my heart. Lord, for the in the beginning. Lord, what it has done for me, how it has blessed me, let it bless those, give them ears to hear, a heart to receive, that you are the beginning of all things, life, love, prosperity, anything that we need, you are the beginning and the end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom. I'm glad that some of this seemed to fit, coming at things from so many different angles. Sometimes that seems confusion to people, but it's one of those things, as we all are who we are, God will take advantage of that based on the different personality traits he's given us, the different way of saying things. I know that sometimes I'm around people and I say things, they're like, what did he say? And then there's other people like, oh, I got it. You know, this is what he was saying. And so even though you're not speaking in tongues, sometimes you feel like you need an interpreter when you're around. So, and the same thing with what they're saying. You're like, what did they say? Have you ever been around someone that they go to say something, but they don't? You know, it's like, okay, I spoke, now it's their turn. And it's like it's this pause that's there that's so long that's very uncomfortable. And the next thing you know, you're both speaking at the same time. And you do this two or three times, and finally someone like my personality, you just kind of talk over the top of them. And I think sometimes with God, with the way he speaks to us in that still small voice, that if we're not careful, it's easy to not want to wait for God's timing. And then we end up just kind of talking right over the top of him and missing out on what it is. You know, you read the things in the Bible about God, and you think, well, it's this historical figure and all these things. But it's not historical. Right now, he's breathing. And he's breathing life into people that, as far as the world concerned, they've been cast away and are thought of as dead. He's still, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he's breathing new life, new power into people. He's alive. He hears. He feels. He touches out. He reaches out to people. He responds to people. His word is one of those things that's pretty much set in concrete as to a plan of salvation that he's put out. It's not just any way and every way. You can say, well, there's four different ways to get to Chicago, and as long as you get there, that's what it's all about. Well, no, going to the things of God, there's only one way to get there. And he said, if you try to come in any other way, he considers you to be like a thief and a liar that's trying to bring up another path of things to come in. And so a lot of these things have to do, and I know I'm really stressing this tonight, it's personal relationship with an almighty God. And you're like, well, how does that work? You know, because I have times where I pray about something and I don't get what I prayed for. And I have times to where I feel like I'm in dire straits and I pray and I don't feel anything. Well, for one thing, you got to take the feeling quotient out of it. Feelings,
amen.
And I'm not going to say I don't get emotional about the things of God and what he does for me, but when I'm seeking what he wants for my life and I'm praying to him for desperate situations, maybe it's something with my job, maybe it's someone that's done me wrong and I'm wanting God to bless them, you know, with a knowledge of truth and kindness that, you know, will work out so they can turn out maybe be a blessing for me and for themselves. You know, maybe God puts you in position with people that you are the only light that they see, and even though they lash out at it, it could be that you may have a word that can help that person. But if I just take my feelings, it can just drown you. It will almost devour you to where you actually lose yourself in your feelings and you don't realize you do it. And then with those feelings, when you do that, your thought pattern gets to follow in those feelings. Well, I'm scared. You know, I'm hurt. I've been attacked. And, you know, so whatever you are as a person, you think, I'm going to respond this way, and I'm going to respond that way. And we take God completely out of it when we get to following feelings. But when you just cry and say, Lord, I got this situation. I know I'm lost. I can't see you. I can't feel you. But I know that I need you. When you get to that place where you realize that nothing else is going to work and that you are really with a whole heart, with everything that you have, you're crying out to God. And you're like, God, I need you. And it ain't one of those things you know, you just, and I've heard people do this and it worked, but I think for most of us, it's not where you just say, it's like, you know, like that song, Jesus Take the Wheel, you know, when you're in a bad driving situation, and he does. I know God does that. But when you're trying to establish that relationship with him, it comes to this thing that when you're talking to him and all of a sudden he brings this godly sorrow to your heart for all the things that you've done is wrong and you knew was wrong. And maybe you made excuses for those things. And maybe you tried to justify it by saying, well, such and such did this and such did that, and that's why I did what I did. But when you just get up here and you're just open and you just, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I'm addicted to marijuana. I know I'm addicted to methamphetamines. I know I'm addicted to alcohol. I can't fix these things in my life. I'm addicted to prescription medications. You know, I'm addicted to cigarettes. I'm addicted to pornography. Whatever it is that you have in your life, because we all have something that Satan's used as a snare to trap us. Some people it could be because they've made a bunch of money and just the pride of life. I know that I put myself up to be higher than other people. I know I put value on the things that I own other than the things that I can be through you. When you start doing that, then God will start just opening you up just a little bit more and just showing you all the things that's been a sin against the Almighty God in heaven. And as he shows you these things, and you repent. And when you really repent, you're repenting with saying, Lord, I don't want my will anymore. I want your will in my life. And so I'm laying these things down. You know, and you could do this anywhere. You can stop on the side of the road. You could do it in a car. You can find your prayer closet. You can be in a hotel room. You could be in a ditch. And you can just find that place to where you're going to just totally open up. And it's a process. It's a back and forth thing where he puts more sorrow in to make it to where you're actually ashamed of things maybe you was proud of before. Maybe you were proud of being able to do some of the things that you've done wrong against other people. And all of a sudden you have a godly sorrow and you're like, I know this wasn't right. This was wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to make this right. I don't want to do these things anymore. I can't stop doing it without you, Lord. I can't, in myself, I know who I am. And these are things that I can't change. Lord, I need you to come and cover me with your blood. Forgive me. And he's faithful to his word. He will do those things. And then to understand that you can take on his name in water baptism. And it seems like it's something that maybe seems like it's a ritual or something like that. But I didn't design the plan. This is one of those things that you can do publicly that can be seen for others to notice that you're making a change in your life. You obey the book of Acts and you get water baptized for the remission of your sins. This is where the remission of sin takes place. It's gone. It's wiped away. The blood covered it, and now it's washed away. And then even with these things, as good as some people are, and they can talk about the mercy and the grace of God, and those things are good, and I wouldn't be living for God at all if it wasn't for those things. But once you have that in there, you still need a power that's beyond what you have within yourself. And the only way to get that power is just like it was when Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem until they were endued with power. And when they went to Jerusalem and they stayed till they were endued with power, that power was the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming inside of them. And then there was an evidence that these people all spoke in another tongue. And all through the book of Acts, every time someone did this, there was people that repented and actually got the Holy Ghost and then had to go back and be baptized in Jesus' name. So it's clear that the one thing before getting the Holy Ghost was is that the blood had to be applied to your life. You had to have that blood covering over your sins. Those things have to take place. But that, remember, the remission of sin, that was what we didn't have in the Old Testament with the sacrifice. It put it off from one year to the next. Because it's the blood of Jesus, it was sin, did not touch that blood. It was sinless. Because it has been applied, it covers it. And where before, God couldn't even look at us hardly because of the stench and the marring of sin in our life. It like to us, it'd be like being around someone that's been dipped in sewage water. But something about when that blood covers it, and all of a sudden, because that's where the man Jesus was the intercessor for us to a holy and righteous spirit God, to where that there was something there that had, something had to come between us and that, and that's where he came and took on flesh for us. For us. And so if you really stop and grab a hold of those things, you can find out that if you're really not sure if there's a God, it's real simple. Just talk to him with an open and sincere heart. Let him know that you have lack of faith, that maybe you have lack of understanding, that maybe there's you don't know a whole lot of. One man comes to my church, he goes, I didn't know if there was a big Jesus and a little Jesus. I didn't know anything about Jesus. You know, I didn't, much less a baby Jesus that was born of a virgin. And, you know, I didn't have any knowledge. God will add to you what you need to get you out of your situation every time. He will equip you and furnish you to be able to do things beyond what you could ever hope to do. Because if Block Talk Mom was to share her testimony where she was when she was a young lady, it would shock people to see where she was and where God brought her to be able to go out and do these rap songs that most people don't really get, but guess what? It's not for you. But it's reaching out to a whole generation of people that this speaks to them in a way that nothing else would. The things she can do with the puppets, the heart she has to want to help others. That's the heart that God has for us and what we're supposed to have for others. But if you get to thinking I'm too good for that, God won't argue with you, and he's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. But if you don't hear anything else out of this show tonight, hear me and hear me well. if you get the attitude of this world, no matter what kind of God experience you've had before, and God sees your heart and he knows your heart, that heart is going to be judged someday. And so search yourself. As the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't think that you're hiding anything from God. You're making fool people at church. You're making fool people that, you know, where you work and other people at different things that has contacts in your life. But you're not ever, ever, ever going to fool God. And it's not about pleasing man or pleasing a pastor or pleasing the people at your church or the people where you work. It's about pleasing God. Because as awful as hell's going to be, he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be also. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I think you can take that to the whole Bible. If he told you something's going to be a certain way, guess what? If something had changed, if the New Testament plan of salvation after the book of Acts had ever changed, guess what? If it were not so, he would have told you. He would have had some way for word, written word, to have come up to be applied in the way the Bible was put together so we would know these things. But see, when you look at the enactment of the New Testament church in the book of Acts, nowhere after that do you see anything about that changing until the book of Revelation, until you get to the part to where Jesus comes back. So that is the plan. That is the blueprint of how to be saved. It don't matter how much you don't want to believe it, how much you've heard this preacher, Oral Roberts, or whoever say it, or how many times you hear the message of the cross, or whatever it is, it does not matter. If you do not have that blueprint applied to your life, you're going to miss the mark. And you're going to be judged for missing that mark. It's much better to fall on the rock than to have the rock fall on you. So, Blog Talk Mom, I know I've kind of went off there, but anything you want to add to this before we close? And
no,
anybody else,
you
just want to switch one on your phone?
Oh, yes. Oh, please, if you're there, still there, please push one. I'd like to hear your voice. But I do appreciate the way that you go back over the plan of God, because we can't decide that we don't want to believe it. Because it's so plain. It is so just obvious that exactly this, each step from John the Baptist when he came, and then how everything, one of these days, maybe you can just go through as best you can with the tabernacle plan. Everything fits into a beautiful tapestry of what is necessary for us to do. And it works for us. It's not like it's something that's going to, If God gives you a plan, it's going to be the best thing that could ever happen to you. And I'm so thankful for each pour. The refilling and the constant presence of God, like you said about breathing, God is right here with us all the time. And I love what you said about we cannot go by feeling, because that's a different concept. We do feel and we enjoy the feeling, but that's not the word of God, and our relationship and obedience is the determining factor in every situation. I've enjoyed this so much, Wild Bill. I'm amazed that I was able to get through the parts that the Lord had given me, because it was only supposed to be for 6 minutes if I'd done it at the church. So I had to stretch it out a little bit. And thank you, Sister Starla, for just being so wonderful and patient, and I've enjoyed this so much. I pray that God will use it.
Well, anything you're involved with is always so blessed and anointed, especially for me and for Starla. It's just, you are a real inspiration for us, and I'm thankful to have my personal prayer covering. I think sometimes about Elijah and Elijah, and I thought, man, if her mantle was to fall on me, would I be able to do, you know, greater things than you've done? And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't know. You're like the Energizer Bunny. It just amazes me, the things that you do at your age. And, of course, I've had some setbacks with the accident and everything. But still, And I'm trusting God still for that, that there's going to be a healing someday that I'm going to be able to testify about. And it's going to be something that only God can get the credit for. And I've been so blessed to have many, many powerful ministers playing to so many things in my life. You know, the things I got from Christian school and different preachers that planted different things that is just so powerful that they have different revelation on and things. And it's been just a real inspiration. And I find it a real privilege out of all the people that God should choose to use that he picked me and the donkey sometimes to go in there and be used in ministry. You know, that's where I put myself. I'm right there with the donkey. So, you know, if he can use a donkey, then, you know, I don't use that as justification of him using me, but I'm so thankful because there's so many people that speak so much better. They have their mind works in ways of being able, like wow, Sister Joy, the way she came in here and did that whole thing about deeper prayer. I don't know how in the world she covered that much information as powerful as she did and as clear as she did
Amen.
In the time of this
Amen.
Radio show. And I'd give anything to have a mind to be able to do that. If I don't have a PowerPoint or several pieces of paper in front of me, I get lost. And, man, she just – that was a very, very much inspiration. And she has spoken some things into my life that I know is from God. And it's still – just because God speaks to you doesn't mean that what you got to do is always easy. It's still part of the process that you got to be submitted to. So nobody else is raising their hand or pushing the number on their phone there, Blog Talk Mom. So I guess we either – people say we say it all. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, we always want to let people know that you're always well. Even if you don't agree with us, we'd love to hear your opinion. We're not going to put you down. That's not what Living for God's all about. You know, it's meant to be a relationship thing with people – of God and people that's not of God or people of even a different faith. You know, it's one of those things, if we can't speak to each other in love, and it doesn't mean if you don't love me, then, you know, I mean, make sure I say this right. Just because someone didn't approach you in love with their comments about something about how they look at a scripture doesn't mean you have a right to respond the same way. And we forget that sometimes. I say we, I'm talking about Bill, so... All right, Blog Talk Mom.
I like that. I do want to say one thing, Ma Bill. You mentioned the puppets a couple of times, and we have a couple of minutes here. But, you know, I have a bachelor's degree. I would have had another degree. The Lord has given me the privilege of writing 4 books. And, I'm not putting myself down because a lot of people misunderstand what I'm about to say. But as I studied more and more in psychology and counseling and in early childhood training, I realized that I must have had a situation nearly comparable to Asperger, which they don't claim exists anymore. There's a large spectrum in that. But in my own life, there were certain things that triggered me understanding. And it was fascinating. I remember the actual occasion that it happened. And it had to do, some of them, with puppets or with something animated. Now, the opposite of that is like Halloween or anything like that. Now, that horrifies me. That sets something off that's really negative. But there was something about, and I remember the little teddy bear. I guess I was probably in the first grade. But what it did and how it was able to, well, I guess everybody has some of that, or they wouldn't sell so many teddy bears to children. But anyway, I have watched the amazing effect it has to use a stuffed animal. And I'm saying this to say, if you're listening and you're working with children, please consider using something like that with children, because it will open up their mind. It makes them relax. It is very, very good. And I had one opportunity to go to a school that was just starting their Christian school, and they didn't have a class for their special education children that were coming over from public school several years ago. And they were, like, it was 5. One was severely handicapped. But in 6 to 8 weeks, with some of these methods, all of them were at their own grade level. there are many, many methods like that that we can use. And I just threw this in as a little help to those that are wanting to reach out and help touch children in this day, because there's so much that the enemy is doing to harden them and put calluses on their little minds and hearts and spirits. So I want to thank you, Wild Bill, for letting me put that in. That's just a little note here at the end. And I so look forward to the program each week. It is the highlight of everything for me. And I just appreciate your walk with God and your ability to teach, and for Sister Starla to be such a wonderful, she just, you know, everything that a woman should be is just, is so beautiful. And I've shared time in your home, and sometimes y'all send me some of the most beautiful cards. You each handwrite something in there, and I do love you dearly, and thank you very much. And we'll see you next week.
Hi, well, we love you too, Block Talk Mom, and we want to thank everyone that called in to listen to the live show tonight. Just want to remind you, you can share all of our shows from the archives. You can go back and listen to them, download them to any smart device, and all this is free. It didn't cost you a dime. So we're thankful for all those that take time to listen to our shows and the feedback that we get. And I want to thank you, Block Talk Mom, because this is one of those days that nothing was really coming together for what the show was supposed to be tonight. And I really took time in praying, and Starla was saying, what are you going to do? You don't really have nothing yet. And I was like, you know, I don't know. But I don't know how to explain it. It's not something you can just manufacture to do something like this. And so it's, but I am so blessed with Starla too, that, you know, with the problems we had tonight where the song didn't want to play, and it, I don't know what happened. I don't have a clue. And once I took the headset off, then I couldn't hear anymore. And then I just, like I say, I found the song where I had recorded it at a different volume and then from what it was on the CD to try to get some of the bass out of it. And I was actually putting my headset up against the speaker, you know, hoping it would play, but not knowing, you know, because here's this headset plugged into my phone, which is also getting the return off of the computer, so I didn't know what would work. And that was one of the songs that we had never played before, so we may play it again because I really, really, really enjoy that song. And like I said, I don't know why it didn't play, but it didn't. So, but we want to thank all of you guys who listen. We'll be back here next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. And just come and join us. If you got something you want to say, always one on your phone. If you got something to add or a question, you know, that's why we call it your place. We want people to be able to feel the liberty to be able to do those things. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close everything out. We'll be back here next week. God bless each and every one of you. Good night.